And if you feel like standing, clapping, shouting, please do so. Praise the Lord.
We march to the tune of a love song, singing the King's Jubilee. Anointed to enter the hell gates, anointed to set captives free. We lift up our banner of worship, and Jesus our champion we praise. An army of worshipers stand on his side, baptized in his fire, revealing his glorious light. We lift up a shout, a victory shout, and the word of our mouth we
seated. Oftentimes the Lord has us do things that are very strange. Oftentimes in the Word of God we read where people were told to do things that were different, but God had a purpose behind it all. And so when I turn in my Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 4 verse 6 and I read that scripture that says, "What does this shout mean?" I know what that shout means. 1 Samuel 4:6. What means this shout? Well, to Israel, it meant an outburst of religious enthusiasm. To the Philistine, it was only a noise. And so to the community around Community Church, to the King City person who may be walking down the sidewalk at a time when we are shouting unto the Lord, they may say, "What's the noise?" But we on the inside know that it is not noise. We are giving a victory shout to the Lord. In Job 38, it says, the sons of God shout for joy. The word shout. They shout for joy. Who are the sons of God? In this case, the angels. And can you imagine the angels? They're shouting for joy. They're shouting for joy. And we've been commanded to, in like manner, shout. Now let me lead you through a few scriptures in the Psalms, starting with Psalm 47. You don't necessarily have to turn if you don't want to, but 47 verse 1 is the first scripture, where it says, "Shout for joy, all you people. Praise God with loud songs," but shout for joy. Shout for joy. In verse 5 it says, God goes up to his throne. There are shouts of joy. You know, while silence has its place, and while dignified reverence is in order, also in order are the shouts of joy. For God has created his people with emotions that include not only the silence of our tears, but the shouting with our mouths. Then in the Psalm 5, the word is in verse 11. Psalm 5:11. Again, it says, "But to all who find safety in you, God will rejoice." If you found safety in the Lord, then this can be your scripture. They will always shout for joy. Not too much shouting going on in our homes as it should be. And when somebody does shout, everybody turns and says, "Well, what's wrong with them that they would shout?" But I want us to be more expressive to God. I want us to do what he says. And in these Psalms, like in Psalm 32:11, there is another command. This is not a can-do. This is a command from God. Psalm 32, verse 11. 32:11. It says, "You that are righteous, be glad and rejoice because of what the Lord has done." Hallelujah. "You that obey him," do what? Shout for joy, a command. And then look at Psalm 132, Psalm 132, verse 9 and 11. Beginning with verse 8, "Come to the temple, Lord, with the covenant box, the symbol of your power, stay there forever. May your priests do always what is right. May your people shout for joy." And then in verse 16, "I will bless her priest and all they do, and her people will sing, and they will shout for joy." Why do we shout? Tell me, the last time you were at a sporting event and you shouted, why did you shout? Somebody tell me. You got excited. Why else did you shout? The team was winning, and you shouted for joy. You shouted. So why shout? The answer, triumph. Why shout? Triumph. Leviticus 9:24, when fire fell from heaven on the altar, it was a symbol of divine presence and divine acceptance. What happened? It says, the people shouted. They may have clapped, but they shouted. When Saul was chosen king, it says, 1 Samuel 10:24, the people shouted. When the temple's foundation was laid, we read in Ezra and in 2 Chronicles that the people shouted. When the ark was sent to its new home, the people shouted. What I did after being moved by that song, which I want us all to sing again at the conclusion of the message, was to look in the Word of God with this question. Lord, if you've commanded us to shout, we're not a shouting people normally, but you've commanded us to shout, then let's learn why we should shout, and let's do it. Let's do some shouting. We got something to shout about. But I think because of intimidation, I think because Satan has put a heavy trip upon us, we don't
want to say it very loud.
But we don't mind saying it very loud and shouting when we are at a sporting event, when victory is coming, and when we have triumphed, when God has answered prayer, when we've triumphed over a personal victory, the Bible says to shout. So what I did was to look in the Word of God and choose three examples of where people, it says here, shouted. Why did they shout? What was the benefit when they shouted? And then how can we find ourselves in their shoes today? And so the first is Joshua chapter 6, verse 5. Joshua chapter 6, verse 5. You want to follow in the Pew Bibles? You can find it on page 237, 235 of the Old Testament. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 5, page 237, it says that, this is the word from the Lord now, they are to hear one long note from the trumpet. And as soon as they hear it, all the men are to give a loud what? Shout. And the city walls will collapse, and the whole army will go straight into the city. Now the context is Joshua in his endeavor to capture the city of Jericho, and the scripture tells us the story. It's a beautiful story. Most of you know it. If you don't, it's in Joshua 6. But the walls came tumbling down when people were obedient to God and when they did what he said. And God said, I want the men to give a loud shout, and the walls will collapse. Now look in verse 16. The seventh time around, when the priests were about to sound the trumpet that we just read about, Joshua ordered his men to shout. And he said, the Lord has given you the city. And in verse 20, the third part of that, it says that this actually came about. First, God said what they were to do. Secondly, Joshua is explaining it to them. And now in verse 20, so the priests blew the trumpet. And as soon as the men heard it, they gave a loud shout, and the walls collapsed. Community church, God will give us the city. God will give himself the city through the work of our church. Walls that need to come down will come down as we give a shout. The walls came down. Not because they were on their knees praying, dear Lord, please let the walls come down. Places for that, people, assuredly. But the walls came down when the people did what? Shouted. Who shouted? The men. The men. The men shouted. Now, you know what I want to ask you to do, guys, right now. I want you to shout like you would at the ball game for not the sake of shouting. That would be ridiculous. And not because it would be good to do that. I want us men to shout for the victory that Christ Jesus has given us as priests of our family. We are the priests of our family. And we have triumphed in Christ Jesus. And so I want us just to shout it out, men and young boys. Okay? What are we going to shout? I don't know what you're going to shout. I don't know what I'll shout either. But I want us as men to set an example for the women, because we'll be getting to them in a little bit, to shout, okay? Now, at the count of three, let's just shout it out, okay? You ready, man? You know what you're going to say? You know what you're going to say? Okay, well, think for a moment. You know what you're going to say, Bob? You know what you're going to say? Jacob, you know what you're going to say? Well, think quickly, because I'm getting ready to count. Okay. At the count of three, we're just going to shout in a blessing to God. It is the shout of a triumph. Okay, guys. One, two, three. Praise the Lord! And the walls came tumbling down. There are walls in my home that need to come down. There are walls in my life that need to come down. There are walls in this city that need to come down. I think of prejudice. The walls of prejudice need to come down in King City. I think of the negative things that are in our mind and in our will that need to come down. Negative things that need to come down. I think of traditional ideas which wall us in and chain us that need to come down. You might know right now what needs to come down in your life. You might know right now that there is a wall that needs to come down. And the Bible says that in Christ Jesus, we have victory. We can triumph over these things that so easily beset us. Certain sins, they represent walls. They need to come down, and they can, and they did when the people shouted. I think that if you came up against a demonic spirit that was causing havoc in your family or in your own life or the life of somebody else, and you did as we saw on the screen, we lift up a standard of worship that shatters the darkness with light, that demonic spirits would have to flee, because we would shout them. Now, I know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I know in deliverances you don't have to yell. You can very easily and quietly say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, foul spirit, and I cast you out in Jesus' name. And that spirit hears that. But there is something about putting yourself into it that not only helps you, fortifies your own self, but it helps the people who are observing or who are in the ministry team. It also lets that spirit know you mean business as well. But of course, it's the name, I remind you, not your name. Not your household, as we heard earlier from the word through one of my sisters, but it is the name of Jesus. So we shout, and we say to Satan, I've had enough of this. And we, with a shout, proclaim the victory in our life and over our children as well. The walls came down when people shouted. Secondly, we will go to 2 Chronicles chapter 13 for the second of our three subtexts here. 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 15. 2 Chronicles 13, 15. The context is that the Judeans looked around and they saw that they were surrounded, and they cried out to the Lord for help. You know, we're surrounded too. We need to cry out to the Lord for help. The priest blew the trumpets, and in verse 15, the Judeans gave a loud shout, and led by Abijah, they attacked. God defeated Jeroboam and the Israelite army, and they had victory in their battle because the people shouted. They cried to the Lord, and they gave a loud shout. A few books prior to this, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 20, you'll find a very similar happening. 1 Samuel 17, verse 20. First Samuel chapter 17, verse 20. And somewhere near there, there's a scripture that says that the people shouted, and as they shouted, God gave them the victory. Our battle today is much like their battle, because these people of God were in battle. They were fighting against their enemy. The enemy had the land. Now, we are fighting against a battle today. The enemy has the land, our personal land, the land of our loved ones. The enemy had gained footholds in the land, and the Lord says to these people, if you will shout, if you will lift up that shout, then he will come through, and he will give you victory. There are battles going on right now in this congregation of temptations. There is battle of oppression. And when I speak of oppression, I speak about the flesh, and I speak about the devil. Because when things are going wrong, and when we're involved in things that we shouldn't be involved in, it's not necessarily Satan that is behind us. It could be our own flesh. It could be our own self. So there is a battle. And be it against our flesh of our own desires or whether it be against Satan himself. We're in this battle, and these people, the children of Israel, were told to lift up a standard of worship that will shatter the darkness with light. And when they did that, the victory was theirs in the battle. Now, I don't know what your battle is, but if you're human, you're in a battle. And the intensity will vary from time to time. But praise God, we can shout our way through victory. And that's our sermon subject today. Shouting your way through victory. The last scripture is in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 verse 14. And there are going to be three scriptures we'll look at here. When the people decided to worship God and serve God, they shouted. You know, I grew up in a church where I came in on tiptoes, and I even was told, get your Bible off the floor, because that's not nice. And everybody sat very quietly and didn't move except to get a hymn book and to sing, and then we sat back down. It was a very orderly, very quiet, and they called it a worship service. And that's okay. That is what they were presenting, a worship service. But the Word of God says that when the people worshiped God in song, when they worshiped God, they shouted triumph. And listen to the word in 2 Chronicles 15, 14. In a loud shout, they took an oath in the Lord's name that they would keep the covenant. And they shouted. Why did they shout? Because they had decided to worship God. Goes back up in earlier verses. The word was found. They decided to bring sacrifices to God. They made a covenant in verse 12 in which they agreed to worship the Lord. They said in their covenant, I'm going to worship the God of my ancestors with all my heart and with all my soul. Do I read the next verse? It says, anyone young or old, male or female, who did not worship him was put to death. Do you know that if you don't worship God, it puts you to death a little? Do you know that you cannot be the person God's created you to be, and that part of you will die at that time when you choose not to worship God? And you yourself are killing yourself because you're not growing in the Lord. But they decided they would do it. They decided they would worship God, and they decided they would keep his commandments. And because of this, what they then did was to shout. All the people shouted, and they blew the trumpet. When they decided to worship God, people, when we are deciding to do something like that, we are making a statement, and we say, we are going to worship God. We're going to have a joyous celebration of worshiping God. Yes, in that, the Spirit of God might come to us in a way in which we became very still. And the expression of worship might well change. It may even be when we all would just fall on the floor before God in worship. Because that is what happens in our church. God directs our period of worship. But in the period of worship, there is a place for shouting. To get involved like you would at a sports event. To get aloud and to cry unto God with a shout because of the triumph that he had and the triumph that we can have as well as Christian people. Isaiah 12, 6, the people cried and they shouted. Why? It says, because they believed great is the Lord. God was great. In Isaiah 42:11, the people shouted from the tops of mountains. In Zechariah 3:14, they shouted. We ask, why did they shout? And it says, because God has taken away judgment, and God has cast out the enemy. And the people shouted. When a person becomes a Christian, people should shout. When a person receives deliverance, people should shout. When a person is healed, people should shout. When prayer is answered, people should shout. Zechariah 9:9 says, people should shout because your king comes to you. Your king comes to you. Now we've talked about our shouting, but listen to this scripture in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. it says here that the Lord is going to come, and when he comes, there will be a shout of command. The archangel's voice, the sound of God's trumpet, and the Lord himself will come down from heaven. It'll be a time when God will shout. Zechariah said, the people shouted because God was going to come, the first advent. We call it Christmas. They shouted because they knew he was going to come. We can shout today because he has come, knowing that there's going to come a time when he will shout when he has come again that second time. So in your daily devotions, you may want to, if you're in your car, roll up the windows. And you may want to shout to God for joy. Now the person who's driven up beside you may think it's a noise, but you'll know it's a shout. In Salinas, not long ago, I was in a position where I was lifting my hands and I was praising the Lord at a red light in neutral. And a car drove up beside me, and all of a sudden I was aware that I was being watched, not by God, but by someone else. And they may have thought I had lost it, but God and I knew differently. And so when you're shouting, what means this shout? 1 Samuel 4:6. To Israel, it was an outburst of religious emotion to God. To the Philistines, it was a noise. And so as we shout, when we feel so inclined, God will bless us in the shouting. Let's sing that song again as we stand. And Bob, the tape that you brought, was that queued up? Was the tape that you brought me queued? Then I can use that one. Mary? Shouting is important. You said, what does it do to the guys running? Well, it builds up their adrenaline. They're moving forward. They're shouting for the victory that they are in. Well, I guess it does.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you that. What it looks like, we're outnumbered 101.
Amen. And the other thing is, before we sing, that when you lift your hands to the Lord, it's like exercising your spiritual, your body. Your physical body needs exercise. When you're moving, you are producing life. And so when we're exuberant, we are coming through this way, and it's building us up. Okay, let's put ourselves into this song, maybe.
Stand. Hallelujah.